Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, here are your hosts, Light Beer, Chris Clements, and Dark Money, Sean Noble.
Welcome back to another episode of Light Beer, Dark Money. I'm Sean Noble.
And I'm Chris Clements. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing well. Yeah. How about you, Chris?
Well, it's tournament week here in the Valley of the Sun, and I thought I don't have plaid on, so I'm a little off today. I've got golf attire on,
yeah,
because it's beautiful out. But I thought, you know, for this stirring episode of Light Beer Dark Mind, we talk about the Republican Party a little bit, and how it's getting a little crazy, getting a little loony. There's some infighting, some insurrection talk.
You know, it's true that the Republican Party is very good at shooting itself in the foot.
Yeah.
Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, exactly.
In what would be a very good year, traditionally, for the landscape. I mean, inflation is going up. Biden's numbers are down.
Inflation was reported today up 7.2%, the largest since
1982.
Lots of opportunity.
There's
lots of things to do, lots of messaging to make, and yet the
RNC.
Well, you have the RNC censoring two of their own, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, and then Lynn Cheney of Wisconsin.
Cheney of Wyoming.
Yeah, I'm thinking of her mom, Lynn. That's created quite the firestorm.
Well, but not only that, it was the language of this resolution that was just baffling. It was the RNC said the January 6th panel's work amounted to, quote, the persecution of ordinary citizens engaged in legitimate discourse. And what's insane about that is there's no planet in which legitimate discourse includes bashing in the windows of the Capitol to try to break in and stop proceedings on the floor.
And screaming, where's Mike Pence? Or F Mike Pence.
Or hang Mike Pence.
Hang Mike Pence, yeah.
That's not legitimate discourse. I mean,
It would have been legitimate discourse if they stopped at the Capitol steps.
Yeah, I mean, you can protest outside, wave your signs. But when you're, you know, I mean, I remember seeing the video of the guy beating the cop with a flagpole. That's not legitimate discourse.
Sure.
I mean, it's what's amazing to me is how topsy-turvy this has been. The summer of 2020, when all the riots were going on, Black Lives Matter, all that stuff.
Antifa.
You had conservatives out there saying, this is outrageous. They're not protesting. They're rioting. And yet, conservatives then go storm the Capitol, not protesting, rioting, breaking in, and now somehow that's legitimate discourse? I mean, the hypocrisy is
Well, you have
nuts.
To remember that our own vice president set up, you know, funds to bail out Antifa and BLM members who were in jail. So, yeah, we can go round and round on the January 6th commission in terms of how legitimate it really is with its cause. I think it's purely political.
Well, yeah.
There's, you know, these two are being used as political props. They're vehemently anti-Trump, you know, folks. But if you look at their voting records, especially Liz Cheney, she votes, you know, over 90% conservative.
I mean, she's very conservative. And you know, Kinzinger's
and,
pretty
and, oh, and by the way, her father is the bane of the left.
Yeah.
I mean, hated him.
Yeah, he was Darth Vader.
He was controlling the White House. You want to talk about talk? I remember this back in the day when, you know, there's talk today about who's running the country.
Right.
Who's running the country? It can't be Joe Biden. Cognitively, he's just not there. Well, the same argument was made back in George W. Bush days about George W. Bush and Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney was running everything.
And
maybe he was. I don't know.
But it's created this a firestorm within the Republican Party, so much so that Mitch McConnell came out this week and characterized that riot as an insurrection. I think that's strong language. I don't agree with that.
Oh, I do. It was a violent insurrection. He's exactly right.
I disagree completely. I don't think it was a violent insurrection. I think it was a protest that got out of hand.
I mean, I guess if we could parse what insurrection means, it was violent.
You know,
it was violent.
Where was the Capitol Police? Where was the National Guard?
Well, I think they
deployed like they were asked for?
Those are questions that I think need to be answered.
Trump claims that he authorized an increase in the National Guard well before that didn't happen. Yeah, why? Why is that? Those are just legitimate questions. I'm not saying I don't have the answer to that. I just think the word insurrection is a very strong word.
Well, we've never quite seen anything like that at the Capitol, at least not since the British troops took it in 1812. So,
would you characterize the storming of the Portland federal courthouse as an insurrection?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everything that happened with BLM that the summer is an insurrection.
Well, I don't know about
everything.
Because
people were murdered.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there are
storefronts were burned down for months.
Yeah.
People were murdered, and actually, I place a lot of that blame on Trump and his Justice Department.
Yeah,
not prosecuting that strongly. I think he would probably still be president if he did.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe. There's argument to be made.
Maybe,
but be that as it may, there's strong words going back and forth, and then you have Trump saying that McConnell's nothing but a rhino and is not the leader of the Republican Party. But I think the strongest words this last week were actually made by Mike Pence, who on the January 6th, that's who they were searching for.
They wanted to hang him.
And the question of whether he actually had the power constitutionally to overturn the election.
Right.
Which he did not. That I will absolutely say that Mike Pence saved the Republic that day once order was restored, and we got the Wookiee man out of the chambers, and apparently, I mean, that he's still in jail.
Well, he should be.
Yeah. So, but there was an interesting quote in the Wall Street Journal. I want to read it, and by Mike Pence, who was speaking to the Federalist Society last week, and it was reported in the lead op-ed of the Wall Street Journal. And Pence said, "I heard this week that President Trump said that I had the right to overturn the election. President Trump is wrong." This is probably the strongest words that any Republican has said regarding the former vice president or former president that we've heard. And that's speaking from his vice president. The presidency, he continued, "The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone. And frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the president, the American president." Mr. Pence explained that his decision was rooted in Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. He rightly pointed out that the founders were skeptical of concentrated power, which is why they created the Electoral College and gave states the authority to choose electors. The only power they gave Congress regarding the electoral tally is counting and certifying the votes. The vice president's role is ceremonial and presiding over that counting. So
exactly.
This goes back to a podcast we had some time ago about Trump has nobody to blame but himself for this. Because so many of the voting irregularities or different things that happened both in Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or Georgia, all the different laws that were changed to arguably benefit Democrats, should have been litigated that summer during the summer of discontent,
before the election.
Once the election is held, that's it. I mean, that all this stuff will come out, you know, parcel out over time, and states then have the right to correct that. To litigate that was that summer, and
yeah.
They didn't.
That's on them.
Yeah. And
that's
they didn't.
On them.
And I've said before, I'm not a never Trumper. I'm not a forever Trumper, but I am a pro Pencer. And if you look at what Donald Trump did that entire 2 months of November, December, to, I would argue, the three people who stood by him through thick and thin, actually saved his presidency at different times, both Bill Barr, Mike Pence, and Mike Pompeo. Those guys saved the presidency. Mike Pence saved the Republic.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, great. It's good to agree on something.
I would agree with that. I mean, it will be interesting to see how Trump's influence continues, whether it continues to have a lot of influence or if his influence wanes. There's some indications since the last financial reports on different people he's endorsed that they haven't raised as much money as people expected that they would with the Trump endorsement.
He endorsed Carrie Lake here.
Yeah.
With her teleprompter.
He endorsed Carrie Lake. She raised less money than what people expected, but she spent a ton. So she has a very low number.
That is a lot of teleprompters to be carrying around for you so you understand what the heck you're saying.
Well.
It's an amazing thing.
So, but it's across the board. It's
did he endorse Blake Masters? Do we know that?
No, he hasn't. Yeah. He hasn't endorsed in the Senate race.
Yeah, I would like to ask the populace what Blake Masters has done for the city of Tucson. Came home with lots of money, bird chirping, nothing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bird chirping.
Birds chirping. Blake, what have you done for Arizona? Why are you running when you've done nothing for the state?
Well, and so...
Anyway,
Peter Thiel's supporting Blake Masters. He's put a bunch of money into a super PAC in that. But interestingly... This is related more to Peter Thiel than it is to Blake Masters. J.D. Vance is also someone who used to work for Peter Thiel,
yeah.
who is running for the Senate in Ohio.
In Ohio.
And Fabrizio is doing the polling for a super PAC that's supporting J.D. Vance. And he put out a 94-page slide deck that's like, there needs to be a serious course correction in J.D. Vance's campaign. So, you know, candidates matter. And... endorsements can matter, but they're not the most important thing. And I think a lot of times people just kind of do the shortcut of, oh, Trump endorsed, they're going to win. And that's not going to be the case in every case.
Well, because you and I both know that money plays a role in politics, but it doesn't determine the outcome.
No.
And what really has always been the most important thing in a campaign is your ground game, is your grassroots, is how you've connected with voters over time. And the money usually comes because of that. And that's true today.
I mean,
it's true with everybody who's
elections
running.
Elections come down to who do you trust. And if the candidate has been out there pressing the flesh, talking to influencers, talking to people, I mean, people are more influenced by the candidate himself or yeah. herself and people that they're friends with. And so... it doesn't matter if you've got a great TV ad or if people don't feel like they can trust you, they can trust your opponent more, your opponent's going to win.
Yeah. We used to say that it has to do with who would you rather have a beer with?
There you go. A light beer. And now it's like, well, who has the most dark money?
Yeah. Who has the most dark money? Who has the most dark money and who would you rather have a beer with? That's usually who wins.
And well, the beer is
and that
important.
Has to do with likability.
Who you want to have a beer with is more important than the amount of dark money.
Yeah.
No question.
It is. That's what the undecided voter looks at right when they walk in the booth
yeah,
or when they fill out their ballot at home. Who do I like? Who would I rather have a beer with?
And they may not think it in those terms, but that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, could
I have this candidate over to my house?
Yeah.
Have a barbecue and get to know them. And would I like them or not?
And some people say, how is it possible that Trump could win in those circumstances? It's like, because the choice was...
Because the choice was between the narcissist and the sociopath. And unfortunately, or fortunately, we got the narcissist.
Well, so then fast forward, they picked the old guy over the oldish guy.
Yeah.
When Biden won. But you had something... to report about
First of all, I mean, the polling for Joe Biden right now is now under 40%. And that's just the latest Gallup poll, which has tracked, you know, presidential.
Wait, Gallup has Biden under 40?
Under 40.
Wow.
So if Gallup has him under 40, he's in deep, deep trouble. And then you have the former physician to three different presidents, Ronnie Jackson, along with 40 other congressmen who sent a letter to Biden encouraging him to please submit to a cognitive test because the gaffes, the our building. And it's unsettling for everyone. It's unsettling for people who love the country. Unsettling for me. I don't want our president to be acting like this. To be in cognitive decline to where it emboldens our enemies, it emboldens our adversaries. And we're seeing that on the international stage right now. They don't think Joe Biden has it all together, so they feel that they can be bold and press him. We're seeing it with the conflict in Ukraine. We're going to be seeing it with a conflict in Taiwan. Yep. We're going to be seeing it with Iran and what they have planned, which is
North Korea.
Or North Korea. And it's because they don't feel that, first of all, he's in charge, and secondly, cognitively, he has it all together. And it's a huge issue for the country. Regardless of Trump's, all his faults, whatever, you knew who was in charge.
Yeah.
And his foreign policy, as directed by Mike Pompeo, was strong, it was forthright, and it was certain. And right now, we don't have that.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's not gonna submit to a cognitive test or release results. I don't. I would guess that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We'll see if it matters, and maybe it will. When it'll matter is as we get closer to the 2024 election. And
does he make it to 2024? Though?
I don't know.
Does Kamala Harris make it to 22?
I mean, her numbers are worse than his.
Yeah, I'm not saying this because this is a good thing. This is not a good thing.
No, and my point for me, it's like,
oh, we can win. Well, that's great, but you don't want your president to be seen on the world stage as somebody who is in cognitive decline.
Right, but again, this goes back to where we started. The Republicans are so idiotic that they have a record low approval for a vice president, near record low for a president, going into a midterm, and
we're going to infight.
Yeah,
no, we're going to change the agenda to ourselves, and that's change the discussion to ourselves, and that's not a good thing.
Nope.
And they're trying to do it also with DeSantis, Governor DeSantis in Florida, and a supposed conflict with Donald Trump, and they're both saying we don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, there will be a conflict if Trump decides to run because DeSantis is probably going to run for president.
Yeah.
I mean, but we'll get there when we get there.
He's got to win the governorship again,
which I don't
think that's going to be a problem.
No, no.
I don't think Donald Trump is running.
You still don't?
I don't. I don't.
From your lips to God's ears, man.
Yeah, I don't think he's running. I think he has more power, more fun doing what he's doing right now. I don't think he ever liked the job. And I think he can be more effective in doing what he's doing. And so why run? And also, I don't think from a family perspective, there's a lot of support there.
Yeah.
Well, just reading between the tea leaves.
There's the risk of losing. It's pretty high risk.
And he's a...
That wouldn't want to be called a loser.
Yeah, three-time loser.
Mm.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, with that,
I can't believe I just said that. There's going to be people really upset. Again, not a forever Trumper, not a never Trumper. Donald Trump did a lot of good things for the country, I think, from a public policy standpoint. And actually, in the Wall Street Journal article, I did want to point out they gave special props in terms of Mike Pence for leading a lot of those policy decisions, leading a lot of those personnel decisions. And he does not get enough credit for really being the architect of the public policy.
The policy
decision that came out of the Trump White House.
It certainly wasn't Trump.
You know, the tax decreases that we're still enjoying, the judges that we are still enjoying, including a 6-3 conservative Supreme Court, that was Mike Pence.
Yep.
And he deserves credit for that.
Yeah, totally agree. We'll see how this plays.
Could be an interesting year. Yep. We'll be busy.
We will be busy. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in.
God bless.
Until next time, enjoy the beautiful. If you're in Arizona, enjoy the weather because it's awesome.
Yeah.
If you're not, come visit us. Take care, folks.
God bless.